Father God, we do thank you that you are Lord of all. Thank you in all that you do and what happens even now, that you are somehow in this. And we trust you for all that you will say to us in this next moment, that we would hear your word, understand what Sabbath does mean for each one of us, and we may try and put it into practice in our lives in a way that honours you. So we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is interesting this morning. I think out of chaos, I hope, comes order. But we're going to be thinking a little bit about the Sabbath. And I wonder if we think about today's world, what people say. I don't know, when you say hello to somebody, how are you doing? What's the normal response? What's that? I'm fine. There's that as well. But then you dig a bit deeper and you go, how's things going? What are you up to? And I'm busy. Yeah, it's inevitably that people say, I'm busy. I'm really busy. I've got so much on. I can't keep up with it. And I know when we had kids that were younger, that was so true of our lives as well. You know, when we had to have the logistics meeting in the morning, make sure you're taking that child there, I'll be over there, that'll be that. Okay, right. Have a nice day. Bye. It's been really good to see you. And that's kind of what life was like, you know. And then they get older, and then it's sort of a different sort of energy that you have to put into raising your children. But so many times do I see that we are running from thing to thing to thing. I'll never forget when I first came to London, and I went in the tube, and you'd sort of pop down, and then you pop up, and there'd be people everywhere. I come from New Zealand. That's an empty place, right? London was crazy busy, and lots of people running around. And I thought, where is everybody going? What are they doing? Or on the M25, this blew my mind. I did a quick calculation because I do maths and that's what I love doing. Whilst I was bored on the M25 waiting in a traffic jam, I calculated if we had nose-to-tail cars in the entire of the M25 and we were busy, that there would be the population of New Zealand would be on the M25. That's how many people were around. And it just felt like, where are they all going? Like, 3.5-4 million people. Where are they all going? What's happening? Why are they so busy? What's going on here? And it does seem that, and I'm just as guilty, so please don't think this is a sermon from the front where I'm going, I'm innocent of this, by the way. Because I struggle with the same things that everybody else, I'm sure, does here. You've got to make the ends meet. You've got to make sure that the kids get from here to there. You've got to make sure that all these things are happening and that they're right for your family. And it's kind of difficult to carve out space and time sometimes in life. And it's kind of difficult to think that, oh gosh, you know, I need to have more time with God. And I don't want this to be a guilt trip, by the way. It's not about guilting us into things. But I wonder for us, if you've ever driven your car, and I have to confess there is a light in our car that's got a warning sign that says we need to get it serviced. Louise is nodding her head and saying, you should have booked that ages ago. Yes, I know. But there's a warning light on the car dashboard, and it tells us when we're going to potentially do damage to the car. Potentially, it might even slow the car down a little bit, because if you don't slow it down, it's going to end up broken. And I wonder, in a busy life, in a busy world, is the car dash warning on for humanity? Is it going, hang on a minute, slow down, stop and think about this for a minute and think about what you're doing? Because if you carry on this way, could you do damage? Damage to you, damage to people around you, damage to many, many other things in your life. And isn't it typical, and I'm going to hold up my hand again and go, yes, I don't read instructions. The first thing that goes in the bin when I get something from IKEA or any other, you know, self-built brand would be the instructions. Apparently there are 22,000 ways to build an IKEA and only two of them are structurally sound. So there you go, do the maths on that one. I have to luck out every time. But if we picked up the car manual and it said, just carry on driving, if we picked up the car manual, it would kind of say what those warnings were about, and we'd have to listen to that. We'd have to think about what that meant and get it in the service, you know, get it in for the garage as soon as possible. And isn't it interesting that sometimes I believe God has given us instructions on how to live a life through God's word, through his Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. And what's happened is we've gone, I know that might be true, but I'm busy. And I haven't got time to rest. I haven't got it in my capacity to be able to do it. And I just need to get this, this, and this done. And then maybe next week I'll do it. So we delay it. And we wait till next week comes around. And sure enough, everything piles up in the week. And then you go, oh, yeah, next week. Oh, I forgot to do it. And I wonder why God has made us to rest every 7 days. And to do that, we probably have to go back and explore the 7 days of creation. Okay, here's a quick quiz. Can anybody know what those symbols mean? The first one? Light. Okay, second one? Sea in the sky. Yep, okay, well done. Yep, so then the third one? Land. And yeah, well, yeah, so that's right. Then the fourth one? Stars, moons, and all that sort of stuff. Yep, well done. Fifth? Yeah, that's my favourite day because it's chicken nuggets and fish and chips. Brilliant. Thank you, Lord. And then the sixth day, people and all the other bits. Yeah, so we see, and it's really interesting. If you want to read it for yourself, you can find it in Genesis. It's right there at the beginning, in the beginning. And there were 7 days that God created things. And if you look at the first to the sixth day, there is a specific time slot that is put in there for you. So from day, it says, and there was everything, and there was the morning, the first day. So on second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. But it's really interesting on the seventh day when God creates rest. And listen to this. This is it. Then God blessed the seventh day, so he made it holy. He made it separate. He made it special. And made it holy because on it he rested from all the work creating that he had done. That's it. There's no day one, day seven. And it's really interesting that the Bible is not specific about the time of the Sabbath rest. And in fact, it doesn't say. And what it's sort of implying is that the seventh day rest lasts forever. And that it's a place where we should be as humans, and it's a place that we remember that God is good. And in it, we had a really good relationship with God. You know, Adam and Eve used to chat to God every day. He'd come down and say, how's your day been? Yeah, we've been good. And what have you been up to? Well, you know, we had a look at the other animals, and we lamed that a lion, and it was great, and it was brilliant. Had a really good time. Thank you, Lord, for asking. But then one day, we failed as humanity. God just said one instruction. By the way, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do that, then you're a bit stymied. Because now you start realizing what the truth is about the choices you are going to have to make. And man goes, oh, that's a good idea, God. We won't do it for now. And then God goes. And they go, do you know what? What's over there? And then something tempts them. And it makes them go and explore that. And suddenly, they are fallen from God. And when God comes back and says, where are they? Where are my children? Where have they gone? What are they doing? And they're hiding because they recognize that they cannot stand in front of such a good God. And so as a kindness, God sends them away. Because if he kept them there, they would have been in big trouble. But the problem is, it means that for 6 days now, we have to toil and struggle. This is part of the choices we made as humans way back then. And so it meant that actually God said, though, I still want you to remember that you have a 7 day rest. On the seventh day, that is the day you rest. And so throughout history, God has commanded it. He's put it as the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it's interesting, it's one of the ones that's probably most ignored. We can deal with don't commit murder. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Maybe not lying or slandering other people. That's probably a really good idea. Being jealous, it probably leads to things that aren't good. And so, but then we go the Sabbath. Oh, hang on a minute. I need to get my shopping. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do lots and lots of things. And so we forget about it. And we put that commandment to one side and go, it's the one I'm going to ignore the most. And I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of this, by the way. I am. I'm guilty of it. I've been shopping. I've done things on a Sunday. I could argue that my day off is not a Sunday, but it's not. That's not the point. The point is what's in here. what your choices are, what you make as a choice. It's about what you do and how you are with God. And we need to explore that a little bit. And the first thing to say about it is this. It's not because it's bad for you. God didn't say, by the way, I've got a plan for you and I'm going to make sure it's really bad. It's going to ruin your fun. It's going to ruin your life and you're not going to enjoy it at all. God didn't say that because it was something that was going to be harmful. He said, God's plans are good because God is good. And he wants the best for us. He wants the best for us to succeed and flourish as human beings in the choices we've made. Because we have made some wrong choices, haven't we? I mean, I've got to confess, there's many bad choices I've made. Many good choices I've made too. But sometimes I've ignored what God has asked me to do and done things my own way. Thrown away the instruction booklet and thought that I could reconstruct things and found out there's only 20,000 ways to do things, but only two of them are correct. And so I end up having to go back to this. Do I trust or mistrust God? That's my choice. Do I believe what God is trying to do for me is the best thing for me, or do I think that actually God is trying to make me worse off? And that's only a choice that every individual can make. That's a choice that you are faced with in reality. Do you trust what God's word says, or do you think it's a complete fallacy and a lie and it's not worth the paper it's written on? Those are the two choices we have. Because God's instructions are good instructions, I believe. And so therefore we should spend time listening to them. But I want to come with a health warning on this one. The real problem is once we start putting in, say, we should keep the Sabbath holy, how do we observe it? And how do we enforce that other people observe it? And it's really interesting because that was the same problem that happened in ancient times. You know, they tried to make, there was, I think, about 20,000 laws around the Sabbath day, what you could and couldn't do, how far you could carry a piece of wood, and how much you would put it down. Imagine going around thinking, okay, I've got 22 steps left. Can I get it to the house? No. Okay, I'll have to call somebody and get them over here, and they maybe could carry it a little bit. Or maybe I'll get the slave in and I'll do that way. You know, we'll do whatever. We'll get it there, but we just might have to make it by hook or by crook. And when Jesus goes to heal on the Sabbath day, people go, oh, you can't do that. And Jesus points out the hypocrisy of, if your sheep was in trouble, would you not pull it out? Would you not help it? Would you not relieve it from the pain and the suffering that it's in? Would you not sort the thing out? And that's the problem. When we get hold of these things, somehow man decides to make a load of rules that are unhelpful. And so Jesus, in response to this, says this. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Meaning, I've put it in place not so you can make lots of rules and because it needs to bind you in all these rules, but rather it's there for your own good. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning, is that the Sabbath will have to be how you see it's going to fit into your life, how it's going to work for you, but make sure that you take that rest. And so that is really, really important to understand, that it's not the cart pulling the horse, it's the other way around. And so that's really, really a key element. And so it's not about guilt, it's not about not believing that God's got the best interest, but rather doing it for your own good. Because the warning dashes, the dash light warning is on. And let me share you a story. There's a story about a man who's got an axe. And he goes to work. And he goes to the foreman. He says, I need a job. I'm desperate for a job. And the foreman goes, great, I've got a job for you. You can chop logs. But I need you to chop at least six a day. Because that's the tally we have in our tree world. And so he goes out and he's busy, busy chopping down. He chops down 12 trees in one day. And the foreman's going, this guy's good. And he's like so impressed with him. The next day he comes back, he only chops down 8. And then the next day 4. And the next day 2. And the foreman's kind of perplexed by this. So he goes and visits the man that's doing the chopping. And he goes, what's going on? And he sees him chopping and he can see that his axe is blunt. And he says, mate, what are you doing? You know, you chopped down 12 trees when you first arrived, and now look at you, you're only chopping down 2 a day. He said, why don't you just take some time, sharpen the axe, and get yourself back into action? And the man says, look, I'm too busy to sharpen my axe. part of what God is trying to do is to make sure that we take time to sharpen our axe, to make sure that we live our life in a way that helps us to thrive, us to flourish, but also a way that restores our relationship with God, a way that we can connect with Him in many different ways. And to make a point here, if you want to look at statistics on mental health in Britain, it's quite frightening. So many people are so busy that they haven't got time to even stop. In a study done on students, we can see that there is, in 2011, there was about 1 or 2%, just under 1% of students who struggled with mental health. Now we see in this year, we've got something around 6 to 7% of students who are struggling with mental health. Now there could be an increased awareness of that. There could be many other things that are going on, absolutely, but a six-fold increase over that period of time is spelling out some danger signs. Why? Because I think we live in a society that's 24/7 and doesn't stop, and it makes people tired, mentally, physically, spiritually dry, and dehydrates them. See, God put the Sabbath in place not for it to be a pain, but rather for it to be good for us. And it's interesting, I want to point out this. This is what Jesus says, and who was read so beautifully. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus models the Sabbath. Jesus is the Sabbath and the rest that we need. Jesus brings about renewal and restoration and peace. That's what he's making a statement for. He says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He has made a claim about himself to say, in me you can rest. And if we go back to the Genesis account, what God wanted was a permanent state of rest for humanity. A place where we could build and nurture relationships and grow together and find a peace that surpasses all understanding, a reality of our being that was so good and so right. And so now Jesus comes along and says, you know the peace and that restoration, that rest that you need? Here I am. The Sabbath is back. Trust me. And so again, there is a choice we make. Do we say, actually, I want to rest in Christ because he is the Sabbath? Or do we not? That's up to you. It's nothing that I can say or do to you to convince that. But believe me, there is a difference for my life when I didn't believe to when I do believe. There's a difference in the way that I see things. And yes, I still get tired. Yes, I still get grumpy. Yes, I still many, many things in my life that are true about that I don't do things as well as I could. But however, I find an inner peace which surpasses all understanding, even when things feel as rough as they could be. And I find a reassurance that God has got my best interests at heart, because I know I've seen what he's done in his son, Jesus Christ, and he's changed and transformed the way I see the world. And so therefore, I find that peace and that rest in him. And whilst we are in the world of now but not yet, when Jesus comes again in the promise of revelation, we will find the proper and full Sabbath rest in Christ. And he will give us everything we need, and we will find joy and celebration. And there are a few other little subtle hints to say, actually, Sabbath doesn't mean we can't enjoy and have celebration. It does mean we can do that. It doesn't mean we have to be all somber and quiet and still, though that is helpful at times. Sometimes it can be a gathering together of family, restoring relationships, enjoying each other's company, having joy and celebrating what God is doing in everybody's life. That is Sabbath. And it's a beautiful place to be. And I think the problem is we're missing it now and we're missing out. It's not because we are so missing out on some of these things in modern worlds. So my hope and my prayer as we come and think about that is we prepare ourselves for the, we're saying that 2025 is a year of prayer and preparation. What are your Sabbath habits? Are they helpful, unhelpful? What are you doing to rest and make sure that you restore your relationship with God, with each other, with your family? How's that going for you? And as we reflect on that and think about that, we ask God how ask him how he can reveal to do things better. Not just because it's a chore or a job, but rather it's what God wants, and it's a joy and a privilege to be in that space. I think sometimes we can so easily miss out on what God is doing. Like this morning, what a beautiful day. I'm running here thinking about what I'm going to preach and what I'm going to do, and there's all sorts of things going on, like computers that won't work, and my head is all over the place, and I'm trying to, you know, swim. And it's really interesting in that God just says, stop and look. In the sunshine, look at the trees that I created for you. Look at this earth that I created. Look at these wonderful people that are here who I created, not just for me, but for each other. What a wonderful community we have. Maybe there's times when I should stop and enjoy that rather than worrying about so many other things. And it's so true for our life. And I think mental health-wise, it helps me massively. Because I know you guys are not too worried whether we get the screen right or not. Because you're here with us and you're here in it with me. And that's Sabbath. That's connection. That's about community. That's a beautiful thing to be able to do and share with you this morning. And so as we get ourselves prepared, it's that kind of relationship I'd love to see in our church. Just building and building and building. And I can see it already. And it's going and it's going and it will keep on going. And I'm really so blessed to be, you know, a vicar here. Because you bring blessing when you come. You bring blessing by just being here. But I will, I'm going to share with you something. In the first reading, which was second, we had a mention of a sabbatical year. That's every 7 years they allowed the ground to lay fallow. And why was that? Because it actually helped the land to thrive and grow and be good. And that means every 7 years I should have a sabbatical. I'm going to confess to you, 14 years I've been in ministry and I haven't had a sabbatical yet. So I'm due one. And so in September I'm going to take one. And it would be wonderful because we'll be able to go and see my family in Australia and New Zealand and do those things. But the wonderful thing is I know I can leave you guys in more than capable hands because Newton's here and he's doing a fantastic job. And so it's a massive relief for me to be able to do that and a great joy to be able to allow Newton to thrive and flourish in that space. Please support him in my time away. But do pray for us, myself, Louise, and family over that sabbatical time because it would be really good for prayer that we reconnect with God, our relationship, and just restore a few things and just get back. And when we come back, that we'd have loads of energy ready to go for the year of invitation in 2026. So that's why I'm taking it. It's my preparation. And it's a way that God has sort of revealed and allowed to happen in his graciousness. And I'm so relieved as well because it just gives us a bit of time together. Because I know Louise and I have been running around and we sometimes do miss each other like ships in the night. But during that time, you know, you guys also have got to work out what God's saying about this to you. Where's your Sabbath? Where's your sabbatical? Where's your time with God and just in a peace and quiet of the days, the weeks ahead? Are you spending enough time with him? I know you can answer that, and that's your choice. But if you do that, I can guarantee you'll find joy, peace, and a relief. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the gift of a Sabbath. Thank you that we are allowed to do that. And thank you that you've shown us the truth of your Sabbath in Jesus. That we can rest in him, trust him to take us where we need to go. Lord, I pray that we would be good followers of him, that we would want to yoke ourselves with him and allow him to show us the way. And so, Lord, we do pray for those who don't yet know you, who don't yet love you. May you allow them to see your beauty, your truth, and your light. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.